All right, Genesis chapter 3. So if you find your place, stand with me as we read this. 2 weeks ago, we began studying Genesis chapter 3, and we talked about the temptation of Eve, the fall of man, and now we're going to talk about tonight the wages of sin, the wages of sin. So we're going to pick it up tonight in verse 8, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. The scripture says, "And they heard the voice of God, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And at Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. Lord, so much truth is contained in the verses we just read. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, God. Help us to learn some things, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, the wages of sin, the consequences, Lord, of disobeying you, Lord, and breaking your laws and your commands. And I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to look at and we're going to contrast the promises of the good that Satan says will result from sin with the reality of the punishment God promises will accompany sin. And I'll just do a little bit of quick review. And we see back from the first few verses that we studied a couple weeks ago how that Eve was tempted by the devil in the form of a serpent. And wasn't it amazing how good the devil made sin appear to Eve? How he came to her in deception and literally flat out lied to her. Remember what he said to her? He said, "Ye shall not surely die," which was a flat out lie from what God had said would happen. And Satan told Eve that she could sin and not suffer the consequences of sin. And if there's anything that people are believing today is the fact that they think they can live however they want, live in all the sin they want to live, and never have to pay the price that carries on sin itself. And let me tell you, there's nothing further from the truth of that. All right. Every time a person chooses to sin, there's always consequence that comes along with that sin. Yes, God gave us a free will. Amen. Thank God for that. God made us so we have it's called individual soul liberty. That means we can live our life how we choose. But one thing we cannot choose is the consequences of those choices. They're predetermined. They're built in. And let me tell you, that's exactly what Satan will do. He'll come and he'll try to make the consequences of sin either appear not to be consequences at all or something totally different. And then he told them this. He said, "Your eyes shall be opened." And boy, oh boy, were they ever opened, right? You know, his lie that they were missing out. They were somehow missing out on something that that God didn't was trying to hide from them. He promised he'd show her things she never imagined. Well, let me tell you something. That's exactly what happened. Sin opened their eyes, all right, and they saw things they never would. They thought they would imagine, but not good things, bad things. And then Satan told them that they would be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan convinced her that the knowledge of evil was necessary for greatness, and that surely she didn't want her live her life being naive of certain things. So that's what the tempter came. That's what he did. And then we saw the Eve there in verse 6. Notice what it says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And by the way, let me just say this. Not all sin looks bad. Okay? Did you notice what it said here? She saw that it was good for food. I guarantee you that fruit, whatever it was, some people say it was an apple. The Bible never says that. It just says it's fruit. I guarantee you that fruit, I mean, it wasn't all shriveled up and dried up and had mold hanging off of it, slime dripping off it. I guarantee you that's not what it looked like. It was very desirable to the eyes. And by the way, that's exactly what Satan will do. He'll come along and he'll make it look so good. He'll make it look so shiny. He'll make it look so desirable. But you never see the hook that's hidden inside of it. And Eve looked at it and it looked good to her. And instead of resisting the temptation and believing the Word of God, she began to examine it. And she then decided it was harmless. But by the way, just because she thought it was harmless didn't mean it was harmless, was it? And you know what? There's some things, certain things that the Bible tells us what our attitude ought to be towards sin. And you know what it ought to be, Christian? It ought to be not to play around with sin, not to look at it and examine it. You know what God says when it comes to sin? To flee from sin. Flee from sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is at the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from adultery. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me tell you, we need to stop playing around with, stop messing around with. We need to flee from sin. Amen? And too many Christians think they can handle it. They're strong enough to resist. Let me tell you, it's a lot better to run than it is to try to resist. Amen? You might resist the first time, you might resist the second, third, or fourth time, but I'm telling you, you keep playing with it, it's going to turn around and bite you. I mean, if I had up here, and God forbid, Lord willing, this would never happen. But let's just say I had a cobra snake up here, all right? Man, I hate snakes, by the way. Oh, my goodness. I loved our trip last Saturday to Spring Mill, but I'm telling you, I've never been to a place where I've seen so many snakes at the same day. I think we saw probably, between everybody and the whole group, there was probably 15, 20 different snakes we saw that day. Ooh, I hate snakes, all right? But if there was a cobra snake up here, and a cobra snake has a 4-foot striking distance, okay? It can strike 4 feet, okay? How smart you think it would be? You think I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, the snake can strike four feet, I'm going to stand 4.5 feet away from it. How stupid would that be? Well, I'm going to stand 4'1" away from it. I mean, are you kidding me? If there was a cobra snake up here, I wouldn't even be in this building, all right? I probably wouldn't even be in this town, okay? I'm just saying, all right? No, you know what we need to stop doing as Christians? Stop seeing how close we can get to sin and still not falling into sin. Because I'm telling you, the problem is, you keep playing that way, the devil knows what he's doing, he gets you comfortable around it, before long it'll reach out and strike you and it'll nail you, okay? So no, you know what our attitude ought to be towards sin? What Eve's attitude should have been towards sin? Flee from sin, amen? Flee from sin. So, could God have been wrong? I mean, was it possible to disobey God, to sin, and to not have to suffer any consequences? Well, we're going to look at the answer to that tonight. We're going to talk about the wages of sin. Let's look what the wages or the cost of sin was. Okay? First of all, we see that death was the result of sin. Death was the result of sin. Flip back to chapter 2. And look what God says. By the way, God clearly laid out the consequence, okay? God didn't try to hide this from him. God wasn't trying to, you know, play a game with him. Look what God said in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, by the way, this is interesting. Who'd the command go to? The man. You know why that was? Because he was the head of his home. And it was up to Adam to communicate to the family what the rules were. Okay? And let me just tell you, men, all right? God's plan for leadership for your home goes through you. And you're accountable for what happens in your home. Okay? That's why you better take serious the thing about being a godly man, a godly leader of your home. Okay? Look at verse 17. But of the tree, well, of every tree, back in 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what?
Die.
Okay? God clearly laid out the rules. All right, look, Adam, I've created this beautiful garden for you and your wife. Okay? It's created for your pleasure, for your substance. It's a wonderful place. One rule, okay? Not 100, not 20, not 10, one! Anything you want, you can have, except for this one right here. If you eat of that tree, Adam, you're going to die. Now, a lot of people, I've said, well, if God knew they were going to die, why'd he put the tree in the garden? Fair question. All right, I've explained it to you before. All right, when God made man, he made him with free will. And I promise you, if there had never been a tree, there'd never been a choice. If there had never been a choice, there'd never been true love. You got to choose. It has to be a choice. How else were they able to prove their love to God had there not been a choice for them to make? Okay? And so, you know what happened? Just as God said it would happen, you know what? When the day they ate thereof, they died. Now, physically, they didn't drop dead and die that day. But what was God talking about? In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know what died the day that they ate the fruit? Their spirit died. And that's why when a person is born, every single person born on the planet, okay, because Adam and Eve weren't born, okay, but every single person born, including their children, and on to the baby that's been born within the least a moment of time, every single person has been born. They're born with their spirit dead. Their spirit's dead when they're born. That's why when people are born, you don't automatically on your way to heaven. Just because Jesus died on the cross for everybody doesn't mean everybody goes. Why is that? Because their spirit's born dead. In order for them to go to heaven, they must be what Jesus said in John chapter 3, born again. What gets born again, by the way? Your spirit is what gets born again. Amen? And so the day they ate the fruit, their spirit died. That exact single, that day that happened. But that's not all. Flip over Genesis chapter 5. And let's flip into the future 900 and some years later. Okay? Look what it says in Genesis 5:5. And we'll talk about the age thing when we get over here to Genesis chapter 5:5. I'm not going to get into it tonight. But look at verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Look at the next three words. What is it? And he died. Okay? So let me tell you why there's death on this place we live called planet Earth. Because of sin. It's the cost. It's the penalty of sin. Death was a result of sin. You don't have to turn over there, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So it's through Adam and his choice, that's where death came from. Death was never part of God's original plan. Okay? Death was mankind's fault, not God's fault. Alright? So death was part of, was the result of sin, was the wage of sin. What else was the wage of sin? Well, mankind was plunged, mankind as a whole was plunged into sin as a result of Adam and Eve's choice. Look there back in Genesis chapter 3. Their sin didn't just affect them, it affected the whole human race. Okay? There in verses, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 through 19. I won't go back and read all those verses because we read them before. But you know what you find? You find consequences that carry to all of humanity because of one man's choice. Okay? And Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Listen to this. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? And universally, man dies now because of Adam and Eve's sin. So mankind was plunged into sin as a result. That was another consequence of sin. What else happened here? What was another wage of their sin? Well, their fellowship was broken with God. Okay? Look at the verses we read at the beginning of the chapter, verse 8 and 9. By the way, could you imagine this? Man, I think back to Eden and I think back to what Adam and Eve had. Look at what it says. But back to verse 8, chapter 3 of Genesis. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Think about that. By the way, just think about what that just said there. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Okay? What was it they heard? It doesn't say God was walking. His voice was walking in the garden. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay? And also in the book of Revelation, John talks about when he was on that Isle of Patmos. And it says that he heard a voice and he turned to see the voice. All right. It's speaking of the power of God is what it's talking about. OK. And then it says this. And Adam and his wife, how stupid is this? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Hey, you know what sin does? Sin makes you stupid. OK. Sin makes you dumb. Sin makes you think things that aren't real. Okay? I mean, I don't know how long they had been meeting with God every single day, walking with God in the garden, but more than likely that was going on for quite some time. Okay? Every day, God would come down the cool of the day and He'd meet with them. They'd fellowship with them. I mean, could you imagine the fellowship they had with God? I mean, unbroken, everything perfect, perfect communion with God Almighty. And then all of a sudden, because they sin, now they think they can hide from God? Man, sin will make you stupid. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? By the way, it's not that God didn't know where they were at. Okay? God knows everything. He was trying to get them to admit what they'd done. Okay? And folks, when we sin in our lives, it's not that God doesn't know it already what we do. He wants us to admit to our failures. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's called confession. But sin here broke their fellowship with God. What a horrible thing. And that's why, folks, God had to drive them out from the garden. That's why up to that point right there, okay, in the Old Testament, and when you study all that out, the tabernacle that they had in the Old Testament, that only the priest could go in the place of the Holy of Holies where God came and met. And it only had to be done a certain way. And that great veil separated God from the common people. And unless the priest did it exactly right, unless the blood was just right, unless his garments were put on and cleaned just right, that priest would die instantly because he was in the presence of God Almighty. And sinful man cannot come into the presence of a holy God. So that sin broke their fellowship with God. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ died on that cross and the final payment for sin was made and that veil in the temple was written to, did man now again have direct access with God. Let me tell you, tonight, you have, as a Christian, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, direct access to the Father, amen, to the throne of grace. And you now can have a personal one-on-one relationship, fellowship, communion with God Almighty. All right? All because of the blood that was shed. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the communion was broken. And it was not restored until Christ died on the cross. For some 4,000 years, man's fellowship was broken with God. So that's what sin does. It breaks fellowship. Not only that, we see this, and this is kind of something that a lot of people may not think about, but sin brought a curse upon the enticer. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go through and teach you everything about that I've mentioned to you before. That's a whole other Bible study in and of itself. But notice here, when God starts dealing with the problem, He starts with the serpent. Okay? There in verse 14. And God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, wait a minute, okay? Who was it really behind the temptation? Was it the serpent, yes or no? No, it wasn't, was it? It was Satan, okay? He used the serpent. But because the serpent allowed himself to be used, because he was the enticer, that the vessel, if you will, through which the temptation flowed through, there was a curse placed upon the serpent himself. And there's a great lesson to be learned here, folks, okay? The Bible talks a lot and warns about the dangers of being an enticer. And that means this: you are an instrument through which temptation flows to somebody else. That's a very, very dangerous place to be as a person. As a person that's not saved or as a Christian that is saved. In fact, I just want you to see these verses here, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 18. And I want you to see here what God says about someone who is an enticer. The word entice could also be, it's similar to the word offend that we see here in Matthew chapter 18. That word offend in this verse, it means to cause to stumble, is what that means. And God says, if you cause somebody else to fall or lead another astray, God says there's woe to you. All right. And that woe is a very severe form of God's judgment. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 18. Okay. But whoso shall offend, and that means to lead astray, one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. All right. Let me tell you what I believe we ought to restore. And this is kind of off the subject, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Amen. Because you know me, I'm not afraid to talk about anything. All right. When it comes to the Bible, let me tell you a way to get rid of all these stinking, wicked perverts and child molesters. It's called millstone justice. Okay. I'm telling you, if every stinking pervert in this world, instead of slapping them on the wrist, putting them in jail, letting them get out and offend over and over again, if they'd hang a millstone around their neck, take them out to the big body of water around here, the White River, and drop them in, and take care of the problem. Okay? And that's what God says. God says it were better. You offend a little one, all right? And the context here, yes, it's talking about a little one or a little child, but we can also look at the greater context, all right? But you offend someone like that, God says it were better for you to put a millstone around your neck and you jump in the ocean than it would be for you to do that. Okay, that's what God thinks about it, by the way. Amen? It's about time we have some, I wish our justice system would think about it the way God thinks about it, all right? But God says, listen, woe to you. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 18. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs that offenses come. Listen to this phrase. But woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Special judgment pronounced upon someone through which the temptation flows, or someone known as an enticer. Let me tell you something, Christian. You better be careful. You better be careful in your life causing someone else to fall, someone else to stumble. Okay? By the way, it's hard enough to live the Christian life, to try to stay pure, to try to stay right with all the junk we got to deal with. Why in the world would you want to be an instrument which Satan could use to get somebody else off track? Why would you want to be that? Okay? Do not be an enticer. And I'll preach a whole message, do a whole Bible study on that sometime. The Bible has a lot more to say about it. But I thought it interesting here that God placed special judgment upon the serpent, who was the avenue through which the temptation came. All right? And so understand, sin will cause a curse upon the enticer. Look what else is another wage of sin. Look at verse 16. Sin causes sorrow. Sin causes sorrow. God begins dealing things out here. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There's a reason they call childbirth the jaws of death, right? Okay, now, in our day and age, they can take away the pain with a shot in the spine, okay, something along those lines. But for thousands of years, the natural way to have children, listen, you literally had to almost go to the jaws of death to bring life into this world. What? Why is that? That wasn't part of God's original plan. It's a result of sin. Let me just say this, all right, not just particularly in the context here of childbirth, but in every aspect of life, sin causes sorrow. Sin causes sorrow. It causes heartbreak. It causes tears. It causes ruined lives. Man, I hate sin. I hate the devil. I hate seeing good people's lives ruined by sin. I hate seeing just not too long ago, someone who I would have called a friend who was in the ministry decide as a married man to get involved with a teenage girl. Totally broke up his marriage. Had a little baby, and his wife was pregnant. I just got word where his wife's divorcing him now. I mean, look, he's looking at jail time. What in the world? I hate the sorrow that comes with sin. And I could give you illustration after illustration, but I'm not going to tonight. Amen? But let me just say this. Sin causes sorrow. All right? I mean, go ahead. Do what you want. Live how you want. Think you know better than God. Think you know better than the Bible. Just sign yourself up for a bushel basket full of sorrow. Because I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And a lot of times as a pastor, you know what you do as a pastor? You're helping people pick their lives up, trying to put it back together from the sorrow that sin created. That's what you do. Okay? And I get it, folks. When you get saved, God forgives you the sin, and He does, praise God, but He does not erase the consequence of the sin. You still have to bear that, all right? Sin causes sorrow. Not only that, look what else we see in verse 17 and 18. Not only did mankind have to bear the brunt of the sin curse, but so did creation. And to Adam He said, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, as eaten of the tree, which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." Listen to this. "Cursed is what? The ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shalt bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou hast taken, dust thou art, thus shalt thou return." And creation was cursed because of sin. And that's why, folks, the day and age we're living in, that's why you got to deal with the thorns out there. That's why you got to deal all across this planet with the different, what we call natural disasters, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the volcanoes, the folks, everything going on in Hawaii right now, all across this planet. You know what's happening? Creation is under the curse of sin. And you know the fact that there's an interesting verse. I'm going to read it to you in the book of Romans. You know, the Bible tells us, it says this in verse 20 of chapter 8 in the book of Romans. For the creature was made subject to vanity. They're talking about creation here. Not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole, listen to this, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Whole creation's groaning. It's waiting to be delivered. All right. By the way, that's part of the purpose of the tribulation period. It's God's going to use the tribulation to help deliver the earth from the sin curse. Okay? And creation is groaning in travail. Why? Because of the curse put upon it because of sin. All right? Before the sin curse, guess what? The animals weren't wild. One of these days, God's going to take that off again, and the animals are going to be docile again. They're not going to be wild. During that millennial reign there, the Bible talks about that. Okay? So the sin caused a curse upon all creation. Not only that, man, this is sad. Sin can cause you to lose the opportunity to be in the place of the perfect will of God. Think about that. You know what had to happen after they sinned? Once God's finished dealing with the process, they had to leave the garden. The perfect place God made for them to be, they had to leave. Why? Because of sin, that's why. Verse 23, and Adam said, no, I'm sorry, I'm back in chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. They had to leave the perfect place of the will of God, all because of sin. I wonder when Adam and Eve walked out of the garden, and whatever landscape that they entered into, I guarantee it wasn't as good as the garden. I guarantee whatever place they went wasn't as good as the place they just left. Sure, they had to learn to cope. Sure, they had to learn to live. But it wasn't Eden. Okay? And I wonder when they walked out, and Adam started figuring out how hard life was. And after they had their first child, Eve understood the sorrow and the pain of sin. I wonder if they thought back to the moment where they decided to eat the fruit. I wonder how many times they relived that decision over and over and over again. I guarantee there wasn't a day that gone by they didn't think about it. days had gone by that it didn't replay in their minds. I'm telling you, church, listen, it's so important. Sin can mess you up to the point where you will lose the perfect will of God for your life. Now, praise God for mercy. Amen. Praise God. He's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. Hey, listen, as long as you're willing to turn to God, God still has a place for you. God can still use you. Let me just say this. If you sacrifice the perfect will of God, you'll never get it back. The perfect will of God. Okay? Now, there's something called the permissible will of God. And that means if you sacrifice the perfect will of God, God's not done with you. God doesn't put you on a shelf and won't use you. You repent. You get right. God will still use you, but it will never be like it could have been. And that's why, young people, I'm telling you. You're growing up in this church. You're hearing the teaching. You're hearing the preaching. I encourage you, find and be in and live in the perfect will of God for your life. There's nothing like it. Amen? Nothing like it. You ever wonder why God had to put that cherub there to guard it? Well, He answers it. Notice what He says there in verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man, think about this, is become as one of us. Who's He talking to? He's talking to the Godhead, talking to the Son, the Father, or the Father's talking to the Son and the Spirit. Become as one of us to know good and evil. Oh, yeah. Now, remember what Satan said? Remember what he told him about knowing that they were missing out, not knowing? Well, they know now. And notice what God said. By the way, this is mercy right here. Lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, that's an interesting statement there. God says, in their fallen state, I'm going to be merciful to man and let him die. Because dying is the only way out of his fallen state. And God said, I got to guard the tree of life, because if they eat the tree of life in their fallen state, they'll live in the fallen state forever. And thank God, God was merciful enough to guard that tree so they did not eat of the tree of life in their fallen state. That's mercy, folks. That's mercy. So God drove out man, and He placed at the east garden of Eden cherubs and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And I personally believe that that cherub stayed there and guarded that until God destroyed Eden during the flood. Okay? So what can we learn from the things we talked about tonight, the wages of sin? Let me just give you real quick in the next minute or two some lessons. Number one, don't hide from God. Okay? When you sin, don't hide it from God. Listen, you can't hide anything from God. We don't have time to go there, but Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12 tells us there's not one place on this earth that you can't go anywhere without God's presence already being there. You can't hide from God. How silly is mankind to think that they can go behind a closed door and God doesn't see? Hey, reality check, God can see through walls. Okay? Well, how foolish is mankind to think if they do their evil deeds in the dark that somehow God can't see in the dark? Reality check, God can see in the dark. God knows everything. He sees everything. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So listen, when you sin, don't hide it from Him. Okay? What do you do if you sin? Well, you know what you do? You get it right. Amen. You confess it to God. You confess your sin to the Lord. That's what the Bible says, that if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, when you sin, don't blame anybody else. How come is it? We saw the blame game. All right? God, first of all, He talked to Adam, because that's where the buck stopped at. Adam. Adam, what have you done? You went to Adam. Come on, Adam. Really? Lord, it's the woman thou gavest me. Yeah, okay, let's blame Eve for it. It's the woman, God. Well, hold on, bud. I thought this was the woman you were literally willing to die for. The woman that came from your rib. Now you're throwing her under the bus. Oh, God, it's the woman. So God looks at the woman. What have you done? God, it's the serpent. I mean, they just play the blame game. Listen to me. Don't blame anybody else when you do wrong. You know what you need to do? Fess up to it. Own up to it. Take personal responsibility for your sin. Don't blame anybody else. And then last of all, accept the blood sacrifice God has provided for you. Now, if we went back and looked at it, back in verse 21, very interesting here. Think about what Adam and Eve did to try to cover their sin. Okay? The Bible says they covered themselves with fig leaves. Right, that's basically barely covering their nakedness is what it is. That's exactly what the world's doing today, by the way. Okay? But when God came along, God says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. That's not my idea of covering. All right? Barely covering yourself isn't my idea. So the Bible says in verse 21 that God made unto them coats of skins and clothed them. God says, wrong, now you're fully clothed. And He fully clothed them with coats of skins. By the way, where'd they come from? The coats of skins. Something had to die. An innocent animal had to die because of sin. Okay? The blood sacrifice is what it's talking about. Let me just say this, church. All right? You got to accept the blood sacrifice God has provided for you for your sin to be covered. Yes, for your eternal sins to be covered. Amen? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22 that almost all things are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if you think you're getting to heaven by your good works, you ain't going. If you think you're getting there by belonging to a church, I'm sorry, you'll be a church member in hell. Joining a church don't get you to heaven, all right? Doing a bunch of good works don't get you to heaven. The only way to get there is through the blood, amen? It's through the blood. It's through the blood. And guess what? We're always going to preach here. We're going to preach the blood, amen? So accept the blood sacrifice God's provided for you. Yes, to be saved, to go to heaven. But again, also, as a Christian, when you fail, when you do wrong, you don't need to get saved again. But you need to get right with God. You need to confess. Keep things right with the Lord. 1 John 1:9, I quoted it a while ago. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So sin. It stinks, don't it? Now the rest of the Bible is going to be full of the consequences of sin. Okay? And I mean, sin literally caused a mess after mess. And it didn't take long for it to start having major, major effects. All right, we'll talk about that as we continue our study through the book of Genesis. Amen?